Well, Booker T and the MGs, they always show up at Saturday noon. We're so happy they lugged that Hammond B3 organ up the long flight of stairs here just for us. We're so happy to have them and you, most of all. Good afternoon, everybody. Stan Turner here with the Saturday edition of our show here. Look at the guy across the glass. This is my on-air partner Monday through Friday on the All Request and Dedication Show. Tom, Mr. Shoe Guy, what are you doing here today, buddy?
You know, you just can't keep me away, Stan. I like it so much here.
Especially when I ask you to come.
Well, that, you know, helps.
By the way, how was the commute for you today?
Everything all right? So much better than yesterday. My girlfriend came over yesterday night. Yep. First word she said, I almost died. Yep. I thought I was going to die.
Literally, yeah. That's not a laugh line either.
No.
I rate the at least Highway 36 about 70 not so good and 30 getting better, about like that. So, folks, take it easy. It's not there yet. The Highway Patrol says this is about the worst they've seen in 25 years out there, statewide. So, nothing to trifle with. Be careful. We love to have you here. We'd like to have you in good order and hope your ears are working and your memories are working because we have a special one for you here today. It is time for us to do some time traveling with a beat, a local beat. Let's just, for example, take the year 1964. On the world stage, a South African National Congress leader by the name of Nelson Mandela is sentenced to life in prison as a terrorist. Let's see. On the national stage, the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution is approved by Congress, giving President Lyndon Johnson some legal authority to get the U.S. deeper, as it happened, into the Vietnamese conflict. Here in Minnesota in 1964, well, construction begins on the I-35W bridge over the Mississippi River near downtown Minneapolis. That bridge would open the next year and collapse in 2007. In pop culture, 1964, My Fair Lady wins Best Picture Award. The Spy Who Came In From the Cold is the year's bestseller. The Beatles appear on the Ed Sullivan Show, and here in Minnesota, the music is surely not the same old grind. All right, folks, remember that one? Certainly not the same old grind. It is called The Grind. It was a homegrown number by Gregory D. and the Avantes, and it scored big on the national charts, and it all started here. For Minnesota and surrounding states, the 1960s were a hotbed, if you will, of local music groups. Some gained wide attention, while many others made their splash within the confines of the state or the region here. Names many of you still remember. Well, let's see. Bobby V., who will ever forget him? The Trashmen, the Chancellors, the Underbeats, Castaways, yes, even the unbelievable Uglies. Whether they were a big deal or a big bust or something in between where most of them fell, they put Minnesota on the pop music map. And boy, did folks, especially young folks, have a great time listening and dancing to the music. Yes, indeedy. Well, it's a time worth remembering, surely, and that's what we're going to do this hour. With me in studio, a guy who is putting together a book on regional rock in the 1960s, Rick Shefchik. Rick is known to many of you from his days as a reporter and media columnist for the St. Paul newspaper, and more recently, he's been busy writing books, really good books, and we'll talk about those too. Rick is a good friend and willing to brave the icy streets here to join us today. Welcome back, Rick. It's good to see you again.
Thanks, Dan. It feels like home.
It is home. Consider it your home. You don't live too far from here anyway. You kind of rolled down
a couple of miles, right? All I had to do was put it into neutral, and we ended up
coast
here.
Coast on down.
Easiest drive ever.
Right. Well, look, we love this stuff. We love the music. We love especially the music from that era. What is it about it? Why do we love it so much?
Well, you mentioned that people love to listen to this music, and they did, but you also mentioned that people love to dance. And it was a dancing era. Mm-hmm. When people went out to see these bands, they were going to dance. Mm-hmm. And once the dancing kind of died out, the Minnesota music for a number of years became less successful, let's say. Yeah. This is the sweet spot when all the ballrooms were flourishing and there weren't enough bands to to play for all the kids. Right, that wanted to have a band to dance to.
Yeah, there was a super abundance of places to go and bands to hear. And the kids, and I can recall it, showed up in droves, and they loved it. Yeah. I don't know if you experienced it. You grew up in Duluth.
I did, yes.
So there were plenty of venues up there with live rock.
Oh, sure, the Curling Club, the Armory.
They were all there. Yep. And around here, the Bellray Ballroom, Schlieff's Little City in West St. Paul, some of the other dance venues, remember?
Well, the Crystal Coliseum was one of the earlier ones. Mm-hmm. You know, there were the Mr. Lucky's when they started moving into the clubs a little bit.
That was near Lake Street, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yep. I heard Mike Wagoner and the Box play there many times, and it was a full house all the time. The Mike Wagoner and his brother Colin and the group, they would show up late purposely to build the tension and build the crowds, and then it was like setting off a cherry bomb when they started playing.
Yeah, there was a little pent-up energy at those shows.
There was, and the kids had to burn it off at the time, and that's where they do it. So you feel that I think it is absolutely the right time for you to do a book on this subject, because a lot of folks out there listening right now lived this music and still love it.
Yeah, and not to be a little down about it, but we don't have all of them left anymore. You know, not everybody who played in that era is still with us.
Right.
So we want to celebrate those who are still around, still making music, and those who are still around, believe me, they can still play.
Well, they can. I've heard some of them, and we're going to work our way through a playlist you put together for us here. I think let's start right off the bat with a guy who is truly a gentleman, truly one of the great people who never lost his sense of humility, his sense of balance, his gratitude to the people who made him possible. We're talking about Robert Valeen, Bobby V, who came out of Fargo, North Dakota, whose career really rose almost literally from the ashes of Buddy Holly's death, didn't
it? That's right. He stepped in to substitute he and his band when Buddy Holly died in the plane crash on his way out to Fargo. And shortly after that, came to the Twin Cities and recorded Susie Baby at K-Bank Studios.
That's right. That's 1959, the summer. I think Bobby had just turned 16 years old. His brother, Bill Valeen, was with him, and in this song, Susie Baby, which became a regional hit, Bill Valeen is playing the guitar, and Bobby told me on this show that Bill did it without a pick. He's using his thumb to do this, and he was an excellent, excellent guitar player. From 1959, one of our own, we can claim, Bobby V and the Shadows of the time, Susie Baby.
Susie Baby, for one new, is your love light shining bright? Will you love me or leave me tonight? Come back, baby, come back home. Say you love me and never again roam. Baby, I love you. Say you'll come back and love for me too. Don't you let me go away. I've been lonely, alone each day. Susie, baby, I wonder,
Cha-cha, Bobby V and his group with Bill Vallien, his brother, on guitar. What a marvelous song and recording, Rick Shepchik.
It was a great piece of songwriting for its time. I mean, obviously,
Bobby wrote it.
Bobby wrote the song, and his vocal was just sublime, really. And that was one of the things that not every group in this era that we're talking about had. You know, songwriting wasn't always a strength, and lead vocals weren't always a strength.
That's true.
But it was more the feeling and the spirit of the music that got a lot of it over.
And there was great feeling and spirit in the song we just heard. That's fantastic. Yeah. Remind you, 16-year-old Bobby V came down here to Minneapolis K-Bank Studios. I think they paid $60 an hour for the recording session.
That
and they
sounds
did
right,
it.
Yep.
They did it. So they had to get the usable take within 60 minutes there. By the way, you mentioned about something of a dearth of strong lead singers. Bobby certainly was a strong lead singer. Mike Wagoner and the Bop said that there was a Minnesota sound. He said there were a few chords and a lot of beat. In other words, a lot of noise going on.
That's pretty accurate.
So if he didn't have a strong lead singer, drummer, let it wail. That's right. Walk us through some more of the groups around here. A song called Cyclone by the Trashmen. The Trashmen?
Well, most of the Trashmen.
Okay.
This is when they were playing with Jim Thaxter. They were known as Jim Thaxter and the Travelers at that point. And this was a living room production. They didn't go into the studio to do this. But we have Tony Andreessen on lead guitar.
Ah.
And you'll see where his career is going when you listen to the picking.
Andreessen, one of the finest guitars you'll hear anywhere. And he stayed with the Trashmen and, of course, was part of them when they did Surf and Bird. Here's Cyclone by the first incarnation of the Trashmen. About that is Tony Andreessen there picking away on lead guitar. Isn't that great?
The man ended up being one of the one of the best surf guitarists ever, but that was just part of his career when that was the style that the Trashmen adopted. But as you could see, well before they ever heard surf music, he was doing a combination of country licks and some Chuck Berry.
Right. Link Ray of Rumble. There's too many consonants there. Big national hit for Link Ray. Not from here, but you could hear shades of Rumble in there.
And
Andreessen's playing.
He was definitely influenced by Link Ray, and then they became good friends after running into each other on many tours. They would sit together in hotel rooms and trade licks. And I believe that Tony and Link maintained decades of a friendship.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say, Link Ray. Okay, especially on a Saturday afternoon.
Okay, you got through it that time.
Yeah, we did. We're going to be hearing the Trashmen's signature song here in just a bit, Surfin' Bird. That has got a great story behind it, too. But first of all, let's move along here. We're talking about the rock groups here regionally in the 1960s, Minnesota and surrounding states. Rick Shepchik is with us. Rick is known to you. He's a media columnist, among other things, for the St. Paul newspaper and is at work on a book on this subject. How soon might we see your book on rock in the 60s?
Well, I got a few more months to get the manuscript completed, but we're looking at a 2015 publishing date, probably in the fall of 2015.
Okay. You got a title yet?
Yeah, we're going to call it Everybody's Heard About the Bird.
I like it. That works. Let's move on. We have so many of these great local bands from the 60s. How about this one, the Titans?
The Titans were the big rock group in the early 60s in Duluth. They were mostly an instrumental band, although like all bands of that era, they ended up adding vocals as they went along. But this shows Ricky Colborne's guitar genius and some fantastic drumming. This is called the No Place Special.
And this is 1963, and this is the Duluth sound, right?
Right.
Here we go. Thank you. great picker, but so is this guy.
Ricky Colborn.
Ricky Colborn, Duluth again.
Yeah, and he is he's still around and still plays now and then.
Name of that song, Cyclone?
Is no,
that
this is Cyclone, No Place Special.
I'm sorry, The No Place Special by the Titans from Duluth. Your stomping grounds there. Huh? I don't recall this getting any airplay down here, or much anyway, in the Twin Cities. It was obviously big up north.
Yeah, it was a hit in Duluth, and I imagine a couple of the stations gave it a try down here, but it was very hard for the Duluth bands to make that jump down to the Twin Cities because there were so many bands here already, kind of, you know, clogging up all the venues.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm glad we heard this. First time for me hearing it. It's really great. I love good guitar licks there, and we got plenty of them there. Rick Shefchik, our guest here, a guy who's at work on a book about rock and roll here around these parts in the 1960s. We'll be right back. To really experience a book, meet the author. I'm Stan Turner for Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. Every month, Valley Bookseller's calendar is loaded with events featuring both local and national authors. Visit valleybookseller.com and click the events calendar for a complete list. Choose from monthly events like the Totally Criminal Cocktail Hour or special presentations with authors on tour. Meet your favorite author at Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 North Main in Stillwater.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul, online at Jaime's.com.
Did you know we had fingerprints before we were even born?
We did?
Yep, when we were only 9 weeks old.
My mom says our hearts were beating too.
Well, my mom says I could suck my thumb and smile before I was even born.
You still do. You don't have to tell.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski, and I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard People. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of information and alternatives, including adoption, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America, non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Here, the sounds of the 60s here, the rock groups in Minnesota and surrounding states, a fertile time for that great, great music, and our buddy Rick Shefchik is here with us. He's at work on a book about this. I can't wait. I wish you could push up the publication date a little bit, Rick, but you're a research guy, and you're not going to publish till you're ready, are you?
We sell no books before their time.
Well said, my friend.
Suddenly I want wine. It's the weirdest thing.
Right. Well, we had an abundance of really good groups here. Some had some wacky names. We'll hear from them a little bit later. What was it? Butch? We'll get to that in just a minute here. But some of the groups here, like Mike Wagoner and the Bops, very big, especially at Mr. Lucky's and venues like that. They played all of this live. And I love their band. And it was years later when I was at KSDP. I'm walking down the hall one day, and I see another guy coming, a nice suit and tie, coming the opposite direction. Gee, he looked familiar to me. And he stopped, and he said, "Stan," I said, "Mike Wagoner?" He was in the sales department at Channel 5 selling time. And what a great reunion that was. These guys are still around in many cases, aren't they?
Yeah, and in fact, I just talked to Mike a couple of weeks ago. He's still playing occasionally. A lot of the groups from the Twin Cities, especially the early 60s, who were kind of in a rockabilly style, keep getting requests from Europe to come over and play. Yeah. Rockabilly is bigger over there now than it ever was. And, you know, they could basically go over once a year and play these festivals. In fact, Mike told me that he was asked to come over, and they said, send us a playlist. What are you going to do? He sent over a list of three songs they thought they might be interested in, and then a bunch of covers. And they said, no, we want you to play all 12 of your recorded songs because our fans over here know every one of them.
This is big. Bobby V, of course, not rockabilly, but he's huge in the U.K. until he recently got ill. He was over there all the time.
So. And that's how the Trashmen ended up going over there year after year, because Bobby V said, you guys should go over there. You're big. You don't realize how big you are there.
Mike Wagoner and the Bops. I think the year is 1963, and they did a concert at Excelsior Amusement Park. Is that about the right year?
Well, 64, if you're talking about the
Get this, folks. 1964, Mike Wagoner and the Bops are playing at the Excelsior Amusement Park. Remember that? Guess who opened for them?
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones did. They opened for them. They were not even the featured act.
Supposedly, there were somewhere between 250 and 400 people at the show, all of whom loved Mike Wagner and the Bobs, most of whom didn't care at all for the Rolling Stones.
Those crazy kids.
Those crazy kids and adults, too. Yeah. You know what? We're talking about the rock era in the 60s, and there were two main rock and roll stations. Those call letters are still around here. WDGY, which was 1130 on the AM dial, and KDWB, 630, 630. And, of course, young audiences listened. But I think there were a lot of closet adult listeners at the time, too, huh?
Well, there should have been. I mean, by 64, the music scene had changed so radically. You had the Beatles and the other groups coming over from England, and you needed to listen to that because that was really pushing the envelope, you know, going in new directions. Plus, Motown and some of the other soul labels were starting to just deliver fantastic sounding records. So if you weren't listening to pop radio in the mid-60s, you were really missing the boat.
Okay, back in that period, there was a disc jockey on WDGY, as good as his legend. His name is Bill Deal. He's still around. And Rick, you spent some time with the man. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of yours, too. You worked with him when you were at the St. Paul Paper.
Exactly.
Bill is a fine writer and editor, among other things. But he was a red-hot disc jockey, one of the biggest in the market here. And he was instrumental in bringing forth to national attention the song we're going to hear next. Give us a little setup to the Trashmen.
Well, what happened was Bill was busy booking bands all over the state. He wasn't doing it as a business as such. He was just he was setting up the ballrooms with the bands and the bands with the ballrooms, because nobody else really was doing that. It just sort of started to mushroom. So Bill was working with all these bands, and he would show up and MC a show here and then cut out, and 15 minutes later he'd be at another ballroom someplace else. And of course, in the course of doing all of this, he worked with the Trashmen a number of times. And one night he heard him do a song that was a mashup of two songs by the Rivingtons, Papa Ooh Mau Mau and The Bird Is the Word. And they were doing some kind of funny things with the vocals on it, and Bill said, hey, that's a hit. The kids love it. You guys should go in the studio and record it. And I don't think that they'd really thought about doing that until Bill told them this thing could be big. So they cut one version of it at a studio, and it was about 3.5 minutes. And Bill said, I think you can do better, and it's got to be shorter. So they went to K-Bank and recorded it again, and they hit gold. They absolutely nailed it the second time, and they gave Bill the acetate. He put it on his show that night, and it became an overnight smash.
I think it went to number 4 nationally.
It did, yes.
Number 4, and this is the song, folks.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. Bird's a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, don't you know about the bird? Well, everybody knows that the bird is a winner, well, a bird, bird. The bird's a winner, well, a bird.
Yeah.
And the guy who's doing the vocal, if you care to call it that, is Steve Warrer, the drummer. He was drumming and singing or making noise at the same time. Amazing.
He was the lead vocalist on all of their songs.
Really?
And for that reason, when that song was at its chart peak in January 64, American Bandstand wanted them on the show. But Bandstand didn't come up with enough money to get the whole band out there.
Wait a minute, I can't believe that.
And Soma Records wouldn't pay the difference to get the band out there, so they sent Steve on his own.
You're kidding.
And so there's this great clip of Dick Clark introducing the song with this puzzled expression on his face. He's saying, this is one of the strangest records that we've ever had become a hit on Bandstand. And here they are, the Trashmen. Well, it wasn't the Trashmen. It was just Steve in the suit, you know, and he's dancing. He's doing sort of this bird dance and lip-syncing to the song.
Sure.
And he actually was, he got exhausted just the way he did on stage. Had to catch his breath. And then he comes over and he sits down and does a nice interview with Dick. And all of a sudden, Dick is saying, hey, I love that record. I knew it was going to be hit the moment I heard it.
Oh, yeah, right, Dick. Yeah. I don't buy the notion that the American Bandstand didn't have enough money to fly the whole group out.
Well,
come
they were too
on.
Cheap. Let's put it that way.
Let's put it that way, indeed. Yeah. Okay, Steve Warrer, we've lost him. He's not around anymore.
That's right.
Tony Andreessen, the lead guitar player, is still very much around.
Dal Winslow, rhythm guitar player. Bob Reed, who I just spoke with earlier this week, bass player. And they still do tours on occasion. They're going to be in Las Vegas at a car show in April.
Tony Andreessen told me when they were at their height of their popularity, they always had to hire a couple of bodyguards because the gals like to get up close to the trash men and, you know, their fawning eyes on them. And their boyfriends got really mad. And Tony said sometimes they tried to beat us up after the show.
Yeah, Tony.
So they hired these big goons.
I was going to say, the women are coming after him? Oh, tragedy. Tragedy.
Well, the boyfriends.
The other thing, too, is that all four of them traveled with a handgun.
Did they really?
Well, because they were getting paid in cash every night and going from city to city with this, you know, with this trunk full of money, and they just thought, hey, we've got to defend ourselves here.
We should say these groups were not paid all that much, were they, back in the day?
They were making. In fact, I've got Dal Winslow's date book in my possession. I have to get it back to him. Yep. But you know, with each gig that he's written down in his date book, he puts how much money the band got. And usually, it's about $400.
Yep. It was pretty small peanuts compared to what they get today, wasn't it? Okay. We mentioned some of the dancing venues, and they were so important, weren't they, to these groups? Because the kids loved live music.
Right.
Love to dance. So some of the venues we mentioned, Danceland and Excelsior, Schlieff's Little City in West St. Paul, the Purple Barn in Bloomington was another dance venue, Mr. Lucky's in Minneapolis, Marion Ballroom in Bloomington, Bell Ray Ballroom in New Brighton. Just name a few.
And there were some roller rinks, too, that were quite... There was a Bloomington roller rink that a lot of the bands played
at. St. Louis Park
then.
One, too, where I grew up.
Right.
Yeah, there was one there, too. Let's move along here. The Chancellors made a big splash here, and the group from Minneapolis in 1964. Tell us about this.
Well, this was a song written by Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, and it would had been a pretty good hit for them. Usually, you didn't see a hit from the Twin Cities be a cover of something that had already been popular, but the Chancellors did such a good version of this. This became a very big hit locally.
The name of it?
Little Latin Loopy Lou.
Bop-a-bop-a-loopy-loo. Shake it, shake it, shake it, loopy. the dog. Till Billy can shut it down. If you want a wife to see, she's the best 4 miles around. She's my mashed potato, baby.
That's the Minneapolis sound of the Chancellors in 1964, Little Latin Loopy Lou.
And I believe Dave Rivkin, who ended up working with Prince, was in the Chancellors.
Really, yeah. really. And this stayed by the Chancellors, a local hit. It didn't go national, this rendition, right?
Right.
Because the Righteous Brothers had already made the national splash with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm just trying to think of calling my girlfriend my little mashed potato baby.
My mashed potato baby, right.
Back then it was a compliment.
you try that now. Get back to us and tell us how that works or doesn't work.
Sure,
as the case might be.
On that.
We opened the show with The Grind by Gregory D and the Avantes. This Minneapolis band, 1964. Rick Shefchik, tell us a bit about Gregory D.
Well, this was probably one of the biggest local hits of that era, and it featured Greg Malin's keyboards, which were fantastic.
Hammond B3 organ.
Yeah,
right?
had the big, big organ sound. And it was interesting that Greg ended up working with some of the castaways in a later version of that band in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. For 2 or 3 years, he was a castaway as they continued to to record and tour. So he had a pretty varied career here in the Twin Cities scene.
And their song, The Grind, broke onto the national charts, did it not?
Well, I'm not sure that it did. I think it was one of those songs that if you could research various markets, you see that it definitely made a dent, but it wasn't on the Billboard Hot 100.
Okay. It sure was around here, though.
It sure was.
Big hit locally. Here it is, Gregory D. Great sound. And Tom, we've had requests for this on the Monday through Friday request show too.
It was the first time I ever heard it, and I love this song.
One guy called in, said please play that song by Gregory D and the Avantes. I'm gonna run out and get some malt liquor and come right home and listen to it.
He did, in fact.
He did, didn't he? The Avantes, by the way, the Avante was a sporty model of the Studebaker automobile, right?
Back I think then? It was an Italian version
yeah,
of it, wasn't it?
It was, but it was a Studebaker product, yeah. I guess. Anyway, that's where the name came from. So it was kind of cool to call yourself Gregory D and the Avantes. Let's move along here. And folks, we're doing our best to get as many of these local regional hits in here from the 60s as we can within an hour. And that begs this point, Rick Shefchik. Would you come back and join us one of these days soon on our Monday through Friday show?
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Thank
any
you.
Place.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to solicit requests from our listeners throughout that whatever week you're going to be with us, and build a playlist from their favorite songs from around here in the 60s. Then you come on with us on a Friday, maybe, and we'll talk all about them. And we'll have time to play them all the way through.
That'd be great.
Okay. Let's move ahead here now. The Gestures made a big deal in 1964 of a song called Run, Run, Run.
Now did you know that I
we'll play that all the way through one of these days soon there. The gestures from Mankato. That's the Mankato sound from 1964. Run, run, run.
And I got to say that of all of the songs from that era that were hits, that's my favorite. Dale Menton wrote that, did the lead vocal on it, lead guitar. That opening guitar riff,
isn't that great?
Just so memorable. That did make the Hot 100. I believe it peaked at 44 on the Billboard chart. So it was a national hit. But again, they had the same problem that so many of these bands did. Distribution was never up to the demand. So they'd be out there tour. They'd be booked into towns the other side. Side of the country.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the fans couldn't get the records. They'd go out to hear them. They'd hear it on the radio, but they couldn't buy the record.
Good Lord. I think that's changed now, hasn't it, huh? Although records don't exist anymore.
Yeah, for better and for worse, right. You know, because the system is now so streamlined that everything is all lined up for you before you ever go out as a national artist.
Here we are cruising the 1960s with local and regional rock bands. Just having a ball with Rick Chefchik, who's at work on a book on this subject. We'll be back with Rick and the songs, including, yep, Liar, Liar, and Let the Good Times Roll, right after this. At the Stan Turner Show, we love good stories, and there's no better place to find them than Valley Bookseller in downtown Stillwater. Valley Bookseller is an independent bookstore with knowledgeable and friendly staff who love books. Tell them what you like to read, and they'll make terrific recommendations just for you. Also, discover one of the finest children's collections in the entire Twin Cities. Valley Bookseller. Great books, great people. 217 North Main in Stillwater. Online at valleybookseller.com.
At Jaime's Haberdashery, men never sacrifice fashion for weather. So no matter how cold it gets, you can still spot a Jaime's man by his impeccable taste and the confidence that only comes from a hot lather shave. Jaime's Haberdashery helps men look and feel their best with high-quality clothing cut and styled just for them. Create a look that's uniquely yours with tailored suits, overcoats, hats, and accessories that make winter blush and at prices that won't melt your wallet. Jaime's Haberdashery, 400 St. Peter Street in downtown St. Paul. Online at Jaime's.com.
If you haven't been to Gulden's Supper Club in a while, you're missing out. Great food at even greater prices. Gulden's in Maplewood offers amazing lunch and dinner specials. And the Monday through Friday lunch buffet is one that keeps customers coming back week after week. For dinner, prime rib every night starting at 4 p.m. until it's gone. They have a great selection of steaks, seafood, and chicken entrees. Not to mention one of the best salad bars in the Twin Cities. Gulden's 61 in Maplewood. Reservations are recommended. Call 651-482-0384.
Find out why more people come here to River Valley Ford.
Here at River Valley Ford in Baldwin, we believe that having a big selection of vehicles on hand saves our customers time and money. Our lot is filled with the freshest vehicle lineup in the automotive industry, and we want the opportunity to earn your business. Whether you want your next vehicle with just the basics or all the options, you'll find it here. Shop, compare, and find out why so many of your friends and neighbors choose River Valley Ford in Baldwin.
Having a party here this Saturday noon. Thank you so much for your company. I hope you're enjoying strolling back through 1960s, the local and regional rock bands of the time. Rick Chefchik is our expert in residence here. Rick is at work on a book on this subject. It'll be out next year, not soon enough as far as I'm concerned. Rick.
Well, now remember, I said expert in training.
I'm learning to be an expert in training. We have our training wheels on.
We all love this stuff. I know there's people out there who know way more than the two of us combined, but I'm trying to put together as much of a coherent, you know, there's been lots written about all these groups, but nobody's ever quite told the whole story from start to finish, and that's what I'm trying to do with
them. And that leads me to say this. If anybody out there listening right now wants to impart some information to you, where can they get in touch with you?
I have a website, rickchefchik.com.
Spell that last name. It's unusual.
It's S-H-E-F-C-H-I-K.
One more time, Rick.
S-H-E-F-C-H-I-K. IK, and you can get my email address through there, or otherwise it's just rchefchik@comcast.net.
Wonderful. About three, four summers ago, I was out at the Minnesota State Fair, the great Minnesota sweat together, as it was last summer. It was so hot. At the Liney Lodge outdoor stadium there, or stage, we saw Bobby V performing in person, and he was preceded by the Castaways. Now, they go back, don't they, to the 1960s for sure. Had a big hit in 1965. They did their big signature hit that day, and everybody was kind of wondering, well, they're probably not going to sound very good after all these years. They sounded great. great. It could have been the recording they made, Rick. Unbelievable. Some of these groups still have the chops, don't they?
They do. You know, you can get the Trashmen back together, and they can still just shred up the room. Dale Menton of the Gestures, Tom Kluger's, the bass player, is still around. And, you know, if they get together to play, they'll still nail it. There's a lot of great players still left in this market.
Tell us briefly about the Castaways. This is a Minneapolis group?
A Minneapolis group, and they came along a little bit, sort of, I don't know if I'd even call it the peak. I mean, I think the Minneapolis scene was almost starting to do the downturn here, because the dances weren't quite as big in 65. Kids were still dancing, but music was turning a little bit more into listening than it was to dancing. And I think even by 65, a lot of the bands could kind of see the writing on the wall.
Well, the Beatles had come over, too.
The Beatles were changing everything. Yeah. Bob Dylan had started playing electric music by 65. That was changing music in ways that these guys never would have dreamed.
Right.
But the Castaways, came up with sort of that last real good novelty, feel-good, earworm kind of a pop hit.
Yeah, and this was their big one in 1965. I wish I could scream like that, Rick, huh? The guy who did that did it at the State Fair about 4 years in front of thousands of people, and he still could scream pretty good, Tom.
He'd sound like,
You need a special throat to be able to do that.
You don't want to be set on an operatic career,
no.
Do you?
Most of us have one scream like that in us,
that's
in
right,
our life.
Per lifetime. Right. All right. So the Liar Liar did very well for them, for the cast.
Oh, it was huge. A big national hit. Yeah, top 10.
Okay. Let's move it along now to, what do we have, 1965, the Del Counts here. Tell us, that's a Minneapolis band, or was.
Yeah, and this was another cover song of a 50s song by Shirley and Lee.
That was one of them.
Yeah,
sure.
A song out of New Orleans that got a definite upgrade, a more of a rock and roll sound when the Del Counts did it.
How did it do here for the Del Counts?
Well, again, it was a big local hit, top of the local charts, mm-hmm. but it did not chart nationally.
Okay, well, remember it fondly here, and let's take a piece of it right here. Good times rolled. They rolled for that group, the Del Counts, 1965. Minneapolis sound there. It's a fun song, isn't it, huh?
Yeah, and they were excellent players, too.
They really were. There were some unbelievable names for bands. The Buggs, B-U-G-G-S. Their album sleeve or their 45 sleeve show the three guys on the cover. One guy's the Buggs, mind you, holding a can of Raid. Right? Bug spray. And another guy with one of those plungers, you put DDT in. This is really weird. The Bugs. Then there was a group out of St. Paul called Butch Greaser and the Hoods. They recorded on the Toilet record label. Toilet record label, their big hit, which wasn't a hit, Teenage with VD was the name of that song. We never heard from these guys, Butch Greaser and the Hoods.
Too bad there wasn't underground radio in those days. That might have got a little bit of an airplay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Toilet recording stars right here, Butch Greaser and the Hoods. Oh, my goodness. Well, one group with a weird name that did pretty well, the Unbelievable Uglies from North Central Minnesota.
Detroit Lakes, right.
Detroit Lakes, okay. Tell us about that.
Well, Winston Fink was their lead singer.
Winston Fink.
He was a larger-than-life character.
With a name like that, you'd have to be.
And this record starts to embody what was happening on the national charts. You're starting to hear horns come in now, and this is a beautifully orchestrated 45.
Okay, the name of the song?
This is Keep Her Satisfied.
And the group?
The Unbelievable Uglies.
I'd like to tell you, if you need my good advice, in time you'll need to know, the young man, see her nice. If you wanted to be a woman, there's a way that I know you can. If you wanted to be a woman now,
dreadful name like the Unbelievable Uglies, they sure have a wonderful sound. That's unbelievable. Winston Fink with the lead vocals.
Well, that was his stage name. But I have to think that choosing the name Unbelievable Uglies undercut what a great record that was. Maybe
you're right.
Some of the program directors looked at it and said, nah, we can't take this seriously.
I wouldn't touch it just looking at the name.
Well, but they should have, because that's a great record.
Like Butch Greaser in the Hoods. You just want to get near that thing on Toilet Records. But this should have done better than it did.
It should have.
This should have been a national hit. Keep her satisfied, the Unbelievable Uglies. We'll give these an entire run-through when you come back on the show one of these days.
Great.
On the weekday. Okay. We've got another song here. We want to go. Joey Strobel and the Runaways. This takes us to what, 1966?
Right. And this is a similar sound, really, to Keep Her Satisfied. Again, the horn section is important on this one. And Joey Strobel and the Runaways, one-hit local wonder. This did very well locally, but after that, they stayed together for a few years, but this was a record that I thought should have gone a lot bigger than it did.
What good is love?
What good is love when it tears you apart, leaves an empty feeling deep inside your heart? What good is love when it tortures your mind, brings disappointment? I love you, girl, more than I can really bear. When I need you, you're never there. Your promises turn to lies, fill my eyes with tears. What good is love when it brings nothing but fear?
That's another Minneapolis or Twin Cities or Minnesota sound that I think should have gone national. That's a good piece of work there.
It was a hit up in Duluth, too, when I was a teenager up there. I loved that song.
Joey Strobel and the Runaways, one-hit wonder.
If Joey's listening or anybody who knows Joey, I'd love to talk to him. Get a hold of me.
Get a hold of Mr. Shefchik. Shefchik. That's the guy. He has a website, don't you?
Yes, I
indeed.
Do.
Okay. Let's try to jam a couple more in here before we're done. A group from Ely, Minnesota, up on the range, 1966. The name of the group, the Electras, Rick. Tell us about them.
Well, Bill and Earl Belinsky were the brothers behind this band.
They got to be from the range with a name like that.
Actually,
Belinsky.
But they were from Chicago. They moved up to the range,
okay.
And they were going to high school in Ely when they had success up there, and then they came down to the Twin Cities to record. They hooked up with a guy named Warren Kendrick, who wrote some really good songs. He happened to write this one, which sounds an awful lot like Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Oh, okay. You gotta love the title, Dirty Old Man.
stay. But good, he's so much older than you, and how can he give you a love that's true?
Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see?
He's nothing but a freewheeling girl stealing dirty old man.
So wild,
and remember, girl, that you're just a child.
Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see?
I'm not here to ask or beg or plead, girl, 'cause it's your life, and you know what you need, girl.
There it is. Great sound from these Twin Cities Dirty Old Men, actually from Ely, Minnesota, the Electras. Boy, oh boy. And they were inducted recently, right?
Into the Minnesota Rock and Roll Hall of Fame about 4 years ago. Unfortunately, that record stalled out because they were forced to change their names.
Really?
There was another Electras band, and so their manager came up with the name Twas Brillig.
Oh, wonderful.
And
Twas
that
Brillig
didn't do them any good.
I don't think so. Boy, I couldn't have thought of a worse name myself. We began the program talking about Bobby V. Bob Dylan has great, great, great things to say about this guy. Very, very real affection. Bob Dylan said we had, he and I, some musical history, came from the same place, same point in time. He, Bobby V, had gotten out of the Midwest, too, and had made it to Hollywood. I wanted to see him again. This is some years ago. I took the D train out to Brooklyn Paramount Theater on Flatbush Avenue, where Bobby was appearing with the Shirelles, Danny and the Juniors, Jackie Wilson, Benny King, all the rest of them. I told him I was playing in folk clubs, but it was impossible to give him any indication of what it was all about. I wouldn't see Bobby V again for another 30 years, and though things would be a lot different, I'd always thought of him as a brother. And he gave a great tribute to Bobby V. Dylan did last summer, didn't he, here in St. Paul?
Right, at Midway Stadium when he played here.
Rick Shefchik, this has been great. Thank you so much. We'll have you back soon, okay?
Can't wait for it, Stan.
Rockin' and rollin' in the 60s, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye. Keep rockin'.